Focus on verse 20 and it says this, and I paraphrase it. Because of their faith, your sins are forgiven. Because of your faith. Because of your faith. You see, we live in a society and world where I can easily stand here and say it's very broken. It's very needy and, you know, there's a lot of people in poverty. We just have to turn on the news and we hear these stories of people being trafficked. The drug trade in Britain. The children starving even in this country. You walk along the high street of Aberdeen or Dundee and you will see many people sitting begging. They're in a dire straits kind of situation. Maybe you're not, but some people in their world are. And we as Christians have a mandate to go forth into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, when I say preach the gospel, I don't mean standing here behind a pulpit preaching. Francis of Assisi says this, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. In other words, live your life the way Christ intends you to live your life. Be that example in your community where people will turn to you and say, what is different about you? Why are you so patient? Jim McLeod, why do you bother with a guy like John Wilson who comes into a church building to sell heroin? He's not worth it. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He loved the world. That's everyone in it. It's you and I. Who are we as Christians to dictate who God's love should go to? Faith without works is dead. You know, your faith may just hold the key to someone's destiny. Your faith just may hold the key to change someone's situation or world. You see, the next person you come in contact with today may just be one conversation away from eternity. It's a matter of life or death. The very words that you have to speak into someone's life just may change everything that is going to happen. But faith without works is dead. We not only need to speak the words out, we not only have to tell people about Jesus, but we need to act like Jesus. Jesus was a kind of guy who was a doer. He liked to get his hands dirty. He would always sit down beside sinners and tax collectors and all this sort of stuff. You see, if you're not willing to tell people about Jesus, then who is? We as believers and people who have met with Jesus as our Lord and Saviour should have something within us of the Holy Spirit to enable us to stand out in faith and speak the words of Jesus, the words of life, into someone's life. You see, as we start to speak and share our faith, what it does, it moves us from the natural into the supernatural. It takes our eyes off ourselves of what we may think about someone or a situation, but rather we start to see it as God sees it. God sees your heart. And even the worst sinner in this world, God loves. And here in this story, we have a man who is paralyzed. He's been paralyzed all his life. He would have been lying there day in, day out, doing the same old, same old. There was no chance of him doing the hokey pokey in and out of rehabilitation. He'd have been laying there very uncomfortable. He'd have been looking at the same things every day. He would have to have waited on someone coming along just to even turn him around. But here, he's got four friends who just know in the bottom of their heart, if they can get them to the feet of Jesus, things just might be different. You see, people were speaking about Jesus. Jesus was going from town to town, healing the sick, raising the dead. The blind were seeing, the deaf were hearing. And they knew if they could carry him to the feet of Jesus, that he had a chance of a changed life. Not only a changed life, but a transformed life. And not only would Jesus transform his life, but he would transform the lives around him. It's a snowball effect. You know, my mum and my grandmother were saved in this very church after hearing testimonies from myself and other guys from Teen Challenge. But that day would never have happened if someone never stood out and spoke their faith into my life. But not only that, they didn't just speak the words, they put them into actions. You see, kind words won't change someone's situation. They may encourage them, but the work you do afterwards can help and point them in the right direction. And here's these four men. They know just simply telling, you know, the paralyzed man that Jesus can heal you. Yes, he can. Jesus will forgive all your sins. Yes, he will. If you just pray to Jesus, you'll stand up and walk. Yes, that is possible. But the words would have been falling on deaf ears. He's no interested in what they've got to say. He needs something put into action. And the truth of it is that the community we live in today, they're not really interested in what we've got to say. Because there's too many people being hurt and let down by people speaking out a promise and not fulfilling that. Let me tell you, when we start to speak out faith, the way we act and live our lives need to match what we say. You know, last Christmas we had a Christmas carol service in the centre of Rotherham. It was freezing. And what we'd done, we had a big, you know, marquee thing, and we were giving out hot chocolates and mince pies, as you do at Christmas, and, you know, singing carols, and, you know, in between your shivering. But what it done this. People were coming up to us and saying, why are you giving stuff out for nothing? And that opened the door of opportunity to share our faith. And as I was standing having one or two conversations, this young man of 32 come up to me. And as we got talking, he asked the question, like everyone else did that day, why are you standing here in the cold, giving things out for nothing? I was able to share my story with him. I told him about Jesus. And as I'm speaking to him, I just seen him well up. He says, you know, I'm 32 years old. He says, I had a wife and kids. I was a mechanic. I had the house and the car. He says, but I got cancer. And all of a sudden, my world just collapsed around me. I've ended up on a load of medication. My wife's left me. I've lost the house. I've lost the car. I've lost my job because, you know, I can't go because I'm on all this medication and in that much pain, I can't work in the cold. He said, I've been sleeping under a bridge for the last 4 or 5 weeks. He said, just this week I've been given a house just up the road there, above a pump. He said, I've got nothing in it. And as I'm standing listening to this, knowing that Christmas is a week or so away, this man didn't want me to tell him and say, you know, Jesus can sort this. Jesus can intervene in your life and everything's got to be great. He wasn't interested in that. And as I emptied my pocket with the rest of my change, because Kirsty only gives me change from my pocket. As I emptied my pocket for this young man to go and buy himself some food, I just felt the Holy Spirit saying it's not enough. It just so happened that the lighthouse guys had emptied a house earlier that week and we had a load of stuff stored away. I says to the guy, I says, you come to my office on Monday morning and I'll kit your house out. I've got everything you need. And they came to my office on Monday morning a wee bit earlier than I'd asked them, so we got some breakfast. And I sent the guys along to kit out his house. And every day we'd come into my office, and every day I would share the gospel with him. And I knew he was going to be lonely on Christmas Day, and I said, he's here. You know, I'm not going to be here, I'll be in Scotland, but I personally invite you to the Christmas meal with the guys, hang out with 20 guys. He says, yeah. And that happened, and he was on the scene for 2 or 3 weeks, and he's disappeared. I don't know where that man is today. But one thing I do know is for that 2 weeks he was in contact with myself and other believers, that his world was changed. That he felt worth something. You know, sometimes when we're sharing our faith, we need to be ready to get our hands dirty. And these four men, when they were carrying their friend to Jesus, they couldn't get in because of the crowd. It was Jesus' home place. It was where he was born. It was packed out. But they didn't give up. You know, too many people, when carrying people to Jesus, whether it be in prayer or through their actions or whatever way it is you're reaching your community, give up when the going gets tough. We need to be a people who don't give up. Because the truth of it is, all the hurting people in the community who doesn't yet know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, people have given up on them. And these four men just simply carry the paralysed man upon the roof. Back in their days, there would have been stairs that went up to the roof, you know. It would have been made out of dirt and branches and all that sort of stuff, not like today's world. It would have taken them some time to dig their way through the mud. They had perseverance. They had endurance. But most of all, they had love. Love for their friend, that they didn't want to leave him paralysed anymore. So they dig and they dig and they dig, and finally they get breakthrough and they lower the man down. And as this word at the feet of Jesus, immediately it catches Jesus' attention. And he doesn't turn round to the man and say, did you ask me as your Lord and Saviour? No. The paralysed man didn't even say a word. The Bible doesn't even say he even wanted to be there. But what choices has he got? Because he can't even move. But Jesus turns to his friends and says, because of your faith, his sins are forgiven. Because of your faith. You see, when we put our faith into action, it opens the door of opportunity for the person who's ready to receive Jesus to open their heart to them. And of course, the religious people and all that was there, and the Pharisees, and they'd done their usual thing. Who is this man to forgive sins? You see, Jesus isn't just interested in the outward appearance, but straight away he deals with the inward root cause, which is sin. Sin is the cause of all sickness, the Bible says. And he turns and says, well, how easier must it be? Is it easier for me to say your sins are forgiven, or pick up your mat and go home? Another version says, pick up your mat and walk. And immediately, the paralyzed man, for the first time in his life, stands up, full of strength. He picks up his mat and he goes. But he doesn't go in silence, he goes praising Jesus. You know, when I come across a lot of people who have been paralyzed for many years, I'm not talking about physical, but spiritual. Whether it be drug addiction or alcoholism or gambling or whatever it may be, depression, they're paralyzed. They're stuck in the same old stuff. They've heard all the words of counselors. They've heard all the words of family members who have sometimes let them down, and friends. But what they really need is the words of Jesus to impart their heart and say, come on, now is your time. Stand up and pick up your mat and let's walk. There's something special about someone coming to faith in Jesus Christ. But it's because of their faith. My friends, if every Christian in this place today was to go out into the mission field outside their doors and witness to one person and share your faith, not only by the words of Jesus, but putting the words of Jesus into action, we would have a revival in Arbroath. You see, the people outside their doors are not going to come in these doors. Why? Because they don't feel as though they're worthy enough to step into our church. And they will never know that Jesus loves them no matter what. If people who have already met with Jesus isn't willing to stand out in faith and speak to them about it. I'm not talking about standing on street corners preaching the gospel. There's a time and place for that. But we are living in a broken society where people are looking for answers. And you know something? We've got the answer. This nation is in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This nation won't come back to the way it's meant to be until people repent and come back to Jesus Christ. But you and I have the answer. You know, the biggest addiction in this land isn't drug addiction. It isn't alcoholism. It isn't addiction to pornography or gambling. It's this. People are addicted to love and acceptance. That's why we have so many marriages broken up, so many families broken up, so many friendships broken up, because they are in search of a love that they're never going to find. They always think the grass is greener on the other side. But quite often it's not. You see, there's a desire in each and every one of our hearts from the moment we were born, because God knitted us in our mother's womb. Even in an atheist, there's a desire to know God. And until we find Him, we will never find what we're looking for. This paralyzed man, he went on praising God. And not only that, the people who were crowding around, who was stopping him from even getting into the feet of Jesus, the Pharisees and the religious people and all that sort of stuff, even they seen what had just happened. And in that moment, they even started to praise God themselves. You see, when one's life is changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, it doesn't only change their life and their world, but it changes the life and the world of the people around them. Since I've come to faith, all because one person decided to show me the love of Jesus, stepping out in faith and putting His words into actions, I have seen many people come to know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. That would never have been able to happen if someone never stepped out in boldness and shared the love of Christ. Ah, John, it's not for me, you know, it's okay, You do that as a job. Yeah. That's the minister's job, John. It's not. It's the pastor's job to tell. No. Ah, the street pastors on a Friday night, they'll tell everybody about Jesus. No. If you're a believer of the Lord Jesus today, it is your responsibility and mandate to go forth into all the world and tell people what Jesus has done in your life. You know, the greatest tool we have is our story. When you tell someone your story of what the Lord has done, it can never be truth, or you're crazy enough to make up the lies. But what it does, it gives them an opportunity to make a decision. And what it does for you, it leaves yourself wide open and allowing someone into your life, but it also encourages them to open up their heart and allow Jesus to come in. Faith without works is dead. You don't know what your faith and the impact it will have on the next person you share it with. It might just be the next Billy Graham. You never know. Thanks for listening this morning. God bless you.